to give you just a brief overview of the eradication efforts against the diapreppes root weevil in San Diego County. First of all, this is a collaborative effort with the University of Florida, University of California, UC Cooperative Extension, industries such as Citrus Research Board, and also the San Diego County Agricultural Commissioner's Office. Initially, California has in place a plan to deal with most of the exotic pests that we find if we know something about this exotic pest. And this is basically eradication work plan. It has five components. This is detection. Within detection, we have public outreach, the urban grid survey, and the delimitation survey. Also, there's regulatory treatments for pesticides, environmental monitoring with the pesticides, and research. And diapreppes affords us the first opportunity to actually have research and an eradication project going on at the same time. This is because of the long life cycle of diapreppes, which can go up to 2 years. So this gives us time to actually do research and try to eradicate this pest. Our main goal is to eradicate this pest, but if we are unable to do that, then we'll have some tools available to try to manage the pest. And also, if we do eradicate it and later on there's a reinfestation, we will have something in place, some pesticides or some control measures to control it. One of the first things we had to do was to give this evil weevil, give it the name of the evil weevil. Now, there are other names out there also, but we found out that Florida also has a weevil they call the evil weevil. But we determined that the diapreppes is the greater of two evils here, not the lesser of two evils. So our main goal here is to get a name out there so we could relate to this. There are other names that I will talk about a little bit later. With public outreach, one of the first things to do was to get this information out to the public. First of all, we found out about this pest last year in San Diego County. The initial infestation was found in Orange County in September of 2005. And then LA County a short time later. We found it in San Diego County in April of 2006. Actually, it was found, the diapreppes was found in an insect collection up in San Luis Obispo at the university there. And the professor there actually recognized this as a diapreppes, as an exotic weevil. And he finally got the student to tell him where she got it from. And turns out she picked it up off a screen in La Jolla, down in San Diego. So they immediately called Chris Godfrey. Chris Godfrey called CDFA down here, and we went out, and also us, and we went out to look at it. We approached the landscapers there with posters and asked them if they had seen this particular weevil. And they said, yes, they saw it about 3 hours ago right over in some bushes over there. We went over there, and sure enough, there was a weevil. So this was the first indication that we had it. We probably would have lost about 3 to 6 months before we found it without this actually stumbling onto this pest in San Diego County. But our public outreach consists of sending out postcards to thousands of homes that have had landscaping done, new landscaping, been there less than 10 years. We had a lot of posters, newspaper ads. It was all over the area in the media. So we got a lot of people involved in working with us on trying to detect this particular organism. Some of the other common names we also have out there is the Apopka weevil. This is where it was first found, in Apopka, Florida. The Western Indian weevil, another place based after where it came from. And on the other side, we have the citrus root weevil and the sugarcane rootstock borer. And these are based on the types of hosts that this weevil is found on. This is just a schematic of the life cycle of this particular pest. You can notice that there are different sizes, different colors, and different patterns. So it's there's a great variation between the diapreppes. They mate soon after emergence and lay eggs between the leaves of the plant, mostly primarily in this case the citrus leaves. The eggs hatch out, fall to the ground, the larva fall to the ground. And you can see down below there's feeding damage, frass and feeding damage. The frass is one very good characteristic we use, and feeding damage. The larva stays in the ground from 8 to 15 months. This is a long period of time. So it's very difficult to monitor the larval stages. We basically have to look at the adult stages. And above, you can see some of the damage that's also done to the root system. These are some of the diapreppes biological behaviors that we're looking at. Feeding, they tend to feed on the fresh growth on upper and upper outer margins of trees. They also will feed on the fruit in some cases. They tend to be sedentary, so they're not going to move very far, and they're weak flowers. They can move very quickly, but they don't go a long distance, so they're very easy to monitor that way. They're attracted to the frass and also the freshly eaten foliage, so this is another way to find them, by looking for the frass there and also chewing on the plants. But they respond very poorly to light traps, so that we don't have a good method of trying to find these pests through a pheromone trap or through a light trap. One good point is that they have very poor survival rates, 1-2%. Most of the mortality occurs when the larva fall from the leaves onto the ground. There are plenty of predators out there, maybe too dry, and they may not actually be able to penetrate the soil there. The reproduction, the female can lay up to 5,000 eggs during her lifetime. But in most cases, she will lay about 50 eggs in between the leaves there. The female can live up to long lived. She can live to 3 to 4 months, up to 3 to 4 months, and the male lives about 2 to 3 months. And there's a great seasonality that we've noticed with the diapreppes. They have a high peaks in the springtime and also in the fall time. But they're also, we're finding adults all different stages all year round in San Diego County because of our climate here. Now, this is one thing that's very important in the survival of the diapreppes and a lot of the other exotic pests that end up in California. We have one of the most varied climate systems in North America. San Diego County alone has 5 climate systems here. So there's a lot of microclimates, a lot of different places that organisms can survive, from the coast to the desert to the valleys to the mountains. We have all those different climate systems here. We have rich fertile soil. We grow over 200 types of plants in California, and a lot of those are grown in San Diego County. And the other thing is that we have a lot of urban zones that have a lot of agriculture being done there, a lot of greenhouses and a lot of somewhat artificial types of growing here that makes it for growing year-round in San Diego County. San Diego County is unique in another way, is that we have, we're the only county in California that's qualifying both as a top agricultural county and as a major urban county. We have over 3 million people in the county, and we have a large agricultural industry. It's the fifth largest industry in San Diego County after tourism, military, and biotechnology. And this, as a major top agricultural county, is very important because there's a lot of interface between the urban areas and agricultural areas. These are some of the host and a variety of ornamentals that are grown, that are host of diapreppes that are grown in San Diego County. But our most important host for diapreppes in San Diego County is India hawthorn, Rhapiolepis, and the pygmy date palm, Phoenix robellini. These are some of the fruit crops. Avocado is one of the top ones that I have on the list here, but avocado and citrus are the primary ones that we are concerned about in San Diego County, but we grow a lot of different types of fruit, including bananas. This is some of the feeding damage we see on diapreppes, from diapreppes on citrus. We also have another weevil that feeds on citrus that does similar type damage, but it's in different locations. It's the fuller rose weevil, or fuller rose beetle. And it has similar damage to the citrus. But this is something that we've actually seen in San Diego County, which is a good indication of the presence of a diapreppes, and which is used as a sampling aid to help us find the diapreppes. The standard methods used in California are the same in California and Florida as well. But we have done digging up the trees, actually destructive sampling is what we call that. And adult weevils are monitored by cone traps, tether traps, or beet sampling, and also visual surveys. And the most important survey we do is for the adults, because these are the key monitoring tools. It tells us a lot about the adults. When we find adults there, this is a good indicator. The larvae in the soil are very difficult to find without doing a lot of digging and just getting lucky finding those. The eggs are very difficult to see up for untrained eyes. But the adult stage is a big, colorful weevil, and homeowners, a lot of other different people can actually see this and actually be able to let us know that they have it there. These are some of the tools for adult population surveillance in San Diego. The tetanus trap is one that's most important there, but about 2,000 of these traps are currently in place in San Diego County right now, monitoring the population. In terms of regulation, one of the most important things we want to do is to stop the spread of this particular pest. They basically have 7 quarantines against the diapreptes in San Diego County right now. And some of those, this is an older map, and some of those areas have merged and have expanded right now. So it's basically about 45 square miles that are under a quarantine in San Diego County. But we haven't included all the areas, so it's still expanding. In Orange County, they have about 10, they have 4 sites there. It's about 10 square miles. LA County is about 3.5 square miles with 2 sites. So San Diego County is the big area where we have a big problem. Also, San Diego is the first county where we actually found the weevils in commercial citrus groves, in commercial production. In LA and Orange County, they were both in residential areas. This is an impacted nursery in San Diego County. And back in the back there, you can actually see the people, so you can get an idea of how big this nursery really is. And the nursery was actually just one weevil was found on a truck coming in from Florida. And this was one that really opened up our eyes to the level of regulation we had to do just from just finding one weevil. So working on our nursery protocols and everything. So this was a very difficult situation here in terms of treatment. This nursery had to be completely surveyed and treated to make sure that no other diapreptes were found there. This is another nursery that was impacted. There are 6 nurseries in the quarantine area that are, and only one we found diapreptes on. But this was a very big problem because those plants could not be moved for 6 months after treatment. And then we went back to sample. We had to do destructive sampling, basically destroy the plants looking for the larval stages there. So, and nurseries with large ornamental plants that have a growing cycle more than 6 months, these plants could be held there for a very long time. This is something that's got the attention of the nursery industry very, very quickly. Now, we know that the diapreptes has been transported by plant shipments, mainly ornamental plants, and initially came into Florida from Puerto Rico in 1964 on ornamental plants, moved from Florida to Texas, and it was found in LA and Orange County in 2005 and San Diego County in 2006. And the primary method there has been movement with plant shipments. We've had more than 20 interceptions over the last 20 or 30 years from shipments coming in from airplanes and plants and from different parts of the world. Now, we have a great diversity in the urban landscape in Southern California. And one thing about this pest, it was found only in high-end areas. This is not one that's going to be found in the slums or low areas. This is a pest that tends to find the areas that's where most of the expensive homes are. And this is because of the landscaping that's done there and the extensive changing of plants all over the place. Landscapers and a lot of people are there. So this is one reason why this plant it seems to be in the urban landscape. And also it's along the coast, as you saw on the quarantine map. Basically, within a few miles of the coast, we're finding this pest as well. We're not finding it in the desert areas or far away from far inland. But this is the typical landscape we found in Southern California. And these are a lot of gated communities, but there's a lot of good cooperation there in terms of being able to talk to the landscapers and talk to the homeowners, or the homeowners associations. Everyone cooperated quite a lot. We had good cooperation from the homeowners. They actually came in and were willing to allow access to their properties and everything else. So they actually got involved with it as well. But this is basically the situation. What really got a lot of attention is that this is in a citrus grove in Encinitas, a few miles inland. And you can see the types of homes that are in the back there. These are what we call mini estates. Those homes in the background there, and it's usually about 3 to 5 acres. They mostly all have citrus groves in there surrounding the home there, and these are $3 to $5 million homes there. So this is another gated community, but most of the groves out there were managed by grove managers, so we have plenty of access to this area. And this group here is a group of collaborators from Avocado Citrus Research Board, Avocado Commission, University of California, different counties and CDFA, everybody was there to take a look at the situation. And we found larva, diapreppis adults and larva all over the place in these groves. So it was an eye-opener for everybody that we really have a serious problem in San Diego County and that they've been here for quite a while. And this is another type of residential area we had there. This is on 1 to 2 acres of small expensive homes, and also in near Encinitas and near Rancho Santa Fe there. And this is where we were able to also do a lot of research and work with the homeowners there, who were very cooperative in helping us get the information out about the diapreppis. One of our biggest concerns was the movement of green waste. We had to get to the landscapers, and there were whole notices placed on a lot of the material that could not be moved from the properties. The landscaping and landfills were also notified and required to treat anything that was coming in from the quarantine areas. So this was an effort to stop the spread of this particular pest. And we noticed that there was some correlation between the landscapers who lived in other parts of the county and where they were working. This is landscapers working in La Jolla and usually live the south of there. And we actually had found hitchhikers in areas where the landscapers actually live. So we know that diapreppis can ride in the trucks and move around. And so there's a link between the landscapers and where they live and working in the expensive areas in San Diego County. In eradication, the main tool in eradication is chemicals. We want to eradicate this pest as quickly as possible, but it's going to take a very long time. Even if we are able to knock it down considerably, we won't know for years whether we actually have eradicated it or not. So the biological control is basically a research project, and it's for the long-term effect of trying to control these. We're going to have other management programs in place besides this use of chemicals, because we are running out of certain chemicals we can use, such as the pyrethroids. We want to have different types of chemicals out there, and the less chemicals used, the better, and we want to find other methods of trying to control this. Some of the other methods of control are biological, chemical, and mechanical. With the adults, there's basically the pesticides, the broad spectrum pesticides are the ones that we're using mostly. The predators haven't really shown to be very effective right now because we're in an eradication mode. We're trying to eradicate the pest, not just control it and knock it down. The Prostocetus egg parasite is something that we hope will have a big impact on the diapreppis. With the larva, which is one of our biggest concerns because it's in the ground so long, it's really difficult to tell if we are actually having much of an impact on the larva stages as we are in adult stages. This is just a residential area showing the spraying of different ornamental plants in the area there. So it was very intensive spraying. And basically, if the area was sprayed, there was very good control. If the home was missed or refused treatment or something, we had problems there. Uh-oh. It's frozen. Well, there we go. The research goals were short-term and long-term, and the short-term is to screen new pesticides for diapreppis control and investigate the phenology and biology. This is note when peak emergence time is there, so we can actually get out there and survey, and actually this is the time when peak emergence is the time to try to control this pest. In the long term, we're looking at the evaluation of the parasites and public education, get information out there to the public. This is just a larval survey where we're looking for the larval stages. Some of these trees are actually just blown over, but there was not a lot of correlation between trees that looked like they were stressed out or having a lot of problems, trees that have been blown over, and trees that look pretty good. We found larval stages under all of these types of trees. We also did this in the urban residential areas where we also did soil surveys if the landscapers are taken out of a tree because it was diseased or having problems with it. We immediately got in there and took samples of the soil and actually looked for larvae in those stages. And this is just an example of the larval stage, different types of larvae, different larval sizes we can find that are basically the same age, but because there's so much variation there, it's very difficult to determine the exact age of these larval stages. And also you see there some damage to the root system. As I mentioned earlier, we had a lot of great cooperation between the different places, but there were some people that really gave us some nurseries that felt we were giving them a hard time. And this is one of the places there out in North County that Jorge and I visited, along with a lot of other people. And we were actually trying to dance there, but it looked like we were trying to get out of town there. So with that, thank you.